Heavenly Father, you are great, and we lift up our praises to you. And we know we have come here to, in a special way, as all of your people in this congregation, to lift up our praise to you. Thank you, God, for giving us the life you've given us and for sending your Son. And may all praises go to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, we're still in the Beatitudes in Matthew chapter 5. We'll get through them, but while we're going along here, I hope that they have meant something to you and been reminded of things. We are at the fifth one, and the first four more have to do with the interperson, the idea of being poor of heart and being meek. And hungering and thirsting for righteousness are all kind of personal things. But when we get into the second part, they tend to have more to do with interaction with one another and other people. The idea which we have this time is being merciful. Happy are the merciful. The New International or the New Living Translation says, God blesses those who are merciful, for they will be shown mercy. But you get the idea there. Merciful has to do with how you interact, how you react with other people. And so we will move on down. You'll see some of the same kind of applications. Peacemakers. And if you're persecuted, how to handle that. All has to do with interaction again. And so here we are with happy are the merciful. I read an interesting little story that I want to share with you, having to do with mercy to some extent. A lawyer was defending his client who was accused of theft. The defense was not going well, so the lawyer attempted a different, more creative defense. All my client did was to insert his arm across the counter and into the cash register and remove a small sum of money. As a matter of fact, it was just his arm that committed this crime. My client's arm can hardly be seen as my client. I don't understand how you can punish the entire individual for a crime that was committed by a single limb. The judge saw through the flimsy defense immediately and answered the lawyer accordingly. You have stated the dilemma well. So by using your line of reasoning, I will sentence only the defendant's arm to 1 year of imprisonment. As a courtesy to the defendant, he may either accompany his arm or he may not, as he chooses. Upon completion of the sentencing, the judge sat back in his chair with a smug smile on his face. He had played along with the lawyer's defense, but had still outsmarted him. The defendant and the lawyer smiled as well. With the assistance of his lawyer, the defendant detached his artificial limb and laid it aside on the bench and left the courtroom a free man. Well, now, you don't always get away with that. Sometimes people can be very clever to try to get out of something that they are due. But I think most of us would agree that instead of justice, would we not want mercy? You know, that's the thing. If you were asked, do you want justice from God or mercy, what would be your answer? Mercy. Want mercy from God. Well, you get it. God is a merciful God. The Bible teaches us that. And many places, kind of like last week when we talked about hungering and thirsting for righteousness. The word righteousness appears so many times. So does the word merciful or mercy. Get your concordance out and look at it. You'll find it. It takes a couple of columns. It takes us throughout the whole Bible about how merciful God is. And James tells us in James chapter 2 and verse 13, and I love this passage, that mercy triumphs over justice. And so, of course, we're going to want mercy, because if God were to be simply just and not merciful, none of us would get into heaven. You know, we'd be lost. But what we want from God is mercy. Again, God blesses those who are merciful. And so since God is merciful, should not we be merciful? And that's the whole thought that Jesus is sharing with us. Be merciful. Another text says, as our Heavenly Father is merciful. And so we are to be merciful. But there's something gives us happiness that we'll talk about in just a little while. But when you think about mercy, what comes to mind? There's really kind of two sides to it. One of them is more physical mercy. You know, we see someone in need and they're desperate and we come to their rescue. We help them out. That's mercy. You know, we could just let them flounder however they are in whatever situation they're in. But to come to someone in a physical way and help them is an example of being merciful. One of the Navy ships that is a hospital ship is called the USS Mercy. Because tending to people's needs and helping people out is the idea, the physical needs that they have. But of course, it can also be over spiritual needs. We can be merciful of people because of spiritual situations. We see someone struggling with some kind of a sin or some kind of a shortcoming. And for us, sometimes we feel like, you know, well, that could be us and that could be me. And so I put myself in their shoes and I realize I would want mercy. And if I would want mercy, would I not want to give mercy to somebody else? And so we have that as spiritual mercy. Mercy is defined as goodwill toward the miserable and the afflicted. Again, whether it's physical or spiritual. Those who are miserable, those who are afflicted. And sometimes in the Bible, the word mercy in its original sense in Hebrew and in the Greek, Old and New Testament, is sometimes translated simply as compassion. So mercy could be just simply compassion. Another word that it's translated into is kindness. Mercy is kindness to someone else. Just as we would want someone to be kind to us, then we should be kind to them, and that's being merciful. And then finally, another word that's often translated from these original words is forgiveness. So if we were to define mercy, I think we would understand what mercy is. But mercy is something, of course, I think we automatically do understand what it means. It means to give somebody a break. You know, it means to lighten up a little bit on somebody else and to help them instead of ignore them or hinder them in some way. And Jesus uses the parable of the Good Samaritan as an example of someone whose heart went out to the person who was wounded there on the path. And the other two people had gone around the other side, but the Samaritan comes along, and the Bible says that his heart went out to him. And he went and helped him, and he took him to a place, and he set him up. He helped him out. That's a great example of mercy. In Matthew chapter 18, there's a story that Jesus also shares with us. If you want to turn to your Bibles, this is worthy of reading. And we're going to read a couple of different passages for our message today that really do give us a good example of what it is that God is asking us to do when it comes to being merciful. This is a parable of the unrighteous or the unforgiving servant. But it starts in verse 21 of Matthew 18, where Peter came and he said to the Lord, "How often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to seven times?" And Jesus said, "I say to you, not up to seven times, but up to 77 times." Now, you know, 70 times seven times, 490 times. He doesn't mean that literally. He means, I want you just to be forgiving and don't count on it. Just do it. And so then he gives us this parable. "For this reason, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a certain king who wished to settle accounts with his slaves. And when he had begun to settle them, there was brought to him one who owed him 10,000 talents. if you look at your footnotes, that's about $10 million. I'm sorry, if I owed anybody $10 million, they're not going to get it in this lifetime. There's no way. And so this guy was probably like that. Remember, he's just a servant, but he's borrowed all of this money. 10,000 talents. But since he didn't have the means to repay, his Lord commanded him to be sold along with his wife and children and all that he had, and repayment to be made. The slave, therefore, falling down, prostrated himself before him, saying, "Have patience with me, and I will repay you everything." And the Lord of that slave felt compassion and released him and forgave him the debt. But that slave went out and found one of his fellow slaves who owed him 100 denarii. Footnotes tell you that's about 100 days' pay, so about 3 months and a half or something worth of your pay. And he seized him and began to choke him. "Pay back what you owe." So his fellow slave fell down and began to entreat him, just as he had done, by the way, saying, "Have patience with me, and I will repay you." He was unwilling, however, but went and threw him in prison until he should pay back what he owed. So when his fellow slaves saw what had happened, they were deeply grieved and came and reported to their Lord all that had happened. And then summoning him, his Lord said to him, "You wicked slave, I forgave you all that debt because you entreated me. Should you not also have had mercy on your fellow servant?" I love that. Listen to that again. "I forgave you all of that debt because you entreated me. Should you not also have had mercy on your fellow slave, even as I had mercy on you?" And of course, the Lord was moved with anger, and he turned him over to the torturers. And he says, verse 35, "So shall my heavenly Father also do to you if each of you does not forgive his brother from your heart." So here we have this text that tells us here in Matthew 5 that if we are merciful, we shall receive mercy. And what a great example of that. What a great parable of that, of this person not being grateful enough. He had been forgiven, but not forgiving someone else, and how improper that is for him to be that way. Luke chapter 6 is another text. It is actually the Sermon on the Mount again, and it actually doesn't say, "Blessed are the merciful." It just picks up a story on being merciful in Luke chapter 6. And by the way, I'm reading from the New American Standard, so it might sound a little bit on the awkward side, different side than your New International Version, but just to let you know, Jesus begins in this text in verse 27. Now notice he's in the middle of the Sermon on the Mount, so this is not recorded in Matthew, but here it is. "But I say to you who hear, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who mistreat you. Whoever hits you on the cheek, offer him the other also. And whoever takes away your coat, do not withhold your shirt from him either. Give to everyone who asks of you, and whoever takes away what is yours, do not demand it back." Then he gives us that golden rule, "As just as you want people to treat you, treat them the same way. And if you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. If you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. And if you lend to those from whom you expect to receive, what credit is it that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners in order to receive back the same amount. But love your enemies and do good and lend, expecting nothing in return, and your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High. For he himself is kind to ungrateful and evil men." Now, what does that have to do with mercy? It must have something to do with mercy. Because Jesus then says in verse 36, "Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful." So all of these things, loving your enemy and doing good to people, and not all just people that you have some benefit from or that's your friend or family, but to anyone, even your enemies, And that is actually living a merciful lifestyle to other people. He adds to this two more verses, and do not judge and you will not be judged. Do not condemn and you will not be condemned. Pardon and you will be pardoned. Give and it will be given to you good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. They will pour into your lap, for by your standard of measure, it will be measured to you in return. Now, all of this right here is application to what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5. Be merciful, for you shall receive mercy. There is a payback, if you will. God has forgiven you. He has been merciful to you. And so it should be natural that we then are merciful to other people. But if we're not, we're in jeopardy of God not being merciful to us. And so Jesus is telling us there is kind of a lifestyle we must pick up that's very much the same as what we've received from God in the way we treat other people. Why don't you take a little time with me and look at one more text. And this one's all the way over in 2 Samuel. And we studied David recently, and we ran across this little story that is actually just amazing little story about mercy. Not going to believe it, but here it is, and David himself being merciful. It's a story you've probably never heard. Maybe you have, but most likely if you've just read through it, it's something that you've forgotten because it doesn't seem to take up a lot of David's life. It's just a little episode. But David is on his way. His son, Absalom, has just been killed, and he's riding around. I'm sorry, he's still after him, but he's riding around trying to find him with his soldiers. In verse 5, when David came to Bahurim, behold, there came out there a man from the house of Saul, whose name was Shimei, the son of Gera. He came out cursing continually as he came. And he threw stones at David and all the servants of David, and all the people and all the mighty men were at his right hand and at his left. And thus Shimei said when he cursed, get out, you man of bloodshed, you worthless fellow. The Lord has returned upon you the bloodshed of the house of Saul, in whose place you have reigned. And the Lord has given the kingdom into the hand of your son Absalom. And behold, you are taken in your own evil, for you are a man of bloodshed. So here David is now. He's the king, and his son is rebellious, and he's after his son to bring him into justice. But this man comes up and stands up for Saul and also for Absalom in a very wicked way toward David. And so Abisha, who is the king's commander of his armies, says what I think some of us might say when that happens. Why should this dead dog curse my lord the king? Let him go over now and cut off his head. Why don't you just get rid of this guy? He's so wicked. He's so bad. And here he is, the commander, and that's very unmerciful. In verse 10, but the king said, what have I to do with you, O sons of Zerai? He's talking to his commander. If he curses, and if the Lord has told me, curse David, then who shall say, why have you done so? Then David said to Abisha and to all his servants, behold, my son who came out from me seeks my life. How much more now this Benjamite? Let him alone and let him curse, for the Lord has told him. Perhaps the Lord will look on my affliction and return good to me instead of his cursing this day. So David and his men went away, and Shimei went along on the hillside parallel with them. As he went, he cursed and cast stones and threw dust at him. And the king and all the people who were with him arrived weary, and he refreshed himself there. So here we have an example of King David, and had every right as the king to have this man put to death. But for some reason, David's heart went out to him, thought maybe God's involved in all of this, and let's leave him alone and let's not hurt him. And so he let him go. Well, the story picks up again a couple of chapters later. If you're reading along and you get past that story, and all of a sudden he pops back up again. Shimei's back in the news here in chapter 19. David's son has been killed, so David's solved that. And he's returning to Jerusalem. And so he's got to cross the river. And as he's approaching the river, verse 16, then Shimei, the son of Gera, the Benjamite, remember Shimei, it's this guy, who is from Bahurim, hurried and came down with the men of Judah to meet King David. And there were 1,000 men of the Benjamites with him, with Ziba, the servant of the house of Saul, and the 15 sons and the 20 servants with him, and they rushed to the Jordan before the king. Then they kept crossing the ford to bring over the king's household and to do what was good in his sight. And Shimei, the son of Gera, fell down before the king as he was about to cross the Jordan. So he said to the king, "Let not my lord consider me guilty." He's asking, "Forgive me, Lord. Nor remember what your servant did wrong on the day when my lord the king came out from Jerusalem, so that the king should take it to heart." So here is Shimei coming to him, asking for forgiveness, asking David to forget what I've done in the past, to take it to heart. Don't hold it against me. Verse 24, "Your servant knows that I have sinned. Therefore, behold, I have come today, the first of the house of Joseph, to go down and to meet my lord the king. But Abisha," here's the commander again, "the son of Zeruiah, answered and said, 'Should not Shimei be put to death for this, because he cursed the Lord's anointed?' And then David said, 'What have I to do with you, O sons of Zerai, that you should this day be an adversary to me? Should any man be put to death in Israel today? For do I not know that I am king in Israel today?' And the king turned to Shimei, and he said, 'You shall not die.' And then the king swore to him." So we have David, of course, himself being merciful again. But notice the change in Shimei. The fact that David had been merciful to him earlier, when he deserved to be put to death, and he was just that close to being put to death. Sometime later, he comes back to David, and he's come to his senses, and surely because David has shown him this mercy. Mercy has power. And when we're merciful to other people, it might change them, is partly what this message is here. It can help us to be merciful ourselves, to always look at the other side of the person and see there may be something more than we know. So I want to just share you here as we close these four thoughts about how to be merciful. The first one is to feel another person's pain. In other words, walk a mile in their shoes. Sometimes people come across a certain way towards you, or they do certain things because of something that's happening in their own lives. And we don't know. And so always think there must be something. And if you could just put yourself in that person's place and understand maybe how they feel, that it might help you to seeing that, to kind of lighten up a little bit. After all, who in here hasn't done something themselves that they're thankful for, that other people have been merciful for them? And so being merciful to another person, feeling their pain, seeing their pain, just as David surely thought of Shimei here, just, you know, he was all worked up because of his own enthusiasm for the old king. And surely David understood that, or at least thought, there's more to it than I'm seeing here. The word mercy is from a Latin word, which is two words combined. Miserans, which means misery, as you can imagine, and then cordis, which means heart. And to be merciful is to feel with your heart. And there's the idea of understanding somebody's pain, using your heart to look into it and to understand that there may be something more in what we see here. Now, in James 2, and this is a passage that that amazed me because it ends again with this teaching on mercy, but it doesn't start that way. It's like Jesus with the parable and then ending with mercy. Chapter 2 of James, listen to this. My brothers, do not hold your faith in our glorious Jesus Christ with an attitude of personal favoritism. For if a man comes into your assembly with a gold ring and dressed in fine clothes, and there also comes a poor man in dirty clothes, and you pay special attention to the one who is wearing the fine clothes, and you say, sit here in a good place, and you say to the poor man, you stand over there, or sit down by my footstool. Have you not made distinctions among yourselves and become judges with evil motives? Listen, my beloved brethren, did not God choose the poor of this world to be rich in faith and the heirs of the kingdom of God, which he promised to those who love him? But you have dishonored the poor man. Is it not the rich who oppress you and personally drag you into court? Do they not blaspheme the fair name by which you have been called? If, however, you are faithful to the royal law, according to Scripture, you shall love your enemy, you shall love your neighbor as yourself, you are doing well. But if you show partiality, you are committing sin and are convicted by the law of transgressors. For whoever keeps the whole law and yet stumbles in one point has become guilty of all. For he who said, do not commit adultery, also said, do not commit murder. Now, if you do not commit adultery, but you do commit murder, you have become a transgressor of the law. So here are the last two verses. Listen to these. So speak and act as those who are to be judged by the law of liberty. Instead of the old law, the law of Christ, the law of liberty. Speak and act in this way, those to be judged by the law of liberty. For judgment will be merciless to one who has shown no mercy. And then he ends, mercy triumphs over judgment. So all before that, you have people showing favoritism, a lesson on not being showing favoritism or making distinctions among people. And somehow in there, there's an act of not being merciful, being unmerciful to the person who just happens to have a certain kind of life that they're living. And so we show partiality, and that is being judgmental, basically, and not showing mercy to those people, treating some people as more special than other people. So it's good, again, that number one thought, feel another person's pain, realize they themselves may be in a certain situation that we don't even know about, and we don't know what causes them to act the way that they act, and to respond in certain ways to things in life that might make us kind of look down on them and pass a little judgment on them and be a little standoffish. That's not being merciful, Jesus says. Here's the second one. Again, first, feel another person's pain. Number two, remember that God has shown you mercy. The old text that we sing from Lamentations 3 is a great one. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. And so God is honored for his mercies never coming to an end. God is merciful all of our lives to us, and should we not be merciful in our lives to other people? And then number three, remember to add to your own mercy account by showing mercy. When you are merciful to others, God sees that, and he's merciful also to you. So keep in mind, hey, when I'm merciful, God is happy with me, but also he actually gives me mercy for my own life. And here's the last one, that is, trust Jesus when he says that it'll make you happy to be merciful. It'll give you that kind of satisfaction whenever you show mercy to somebody else. There's just some kind of something that happens within you in the heart when you do good things. And when you are merciful to other people, it actually warms the heart. And that's what Jesus says here when he says, happy, blessed are those who are merciful. It is a good feeling to be merciful to other people. And finally, an Old Testament scripture, Isaiah 30, tells us that God exalts himself when he shows mercy. That his very act of being a God who is merciful exalts God. And so think about it then about us. Does not our being merciful in some sense exalt us? Aren't we better people whenever we are merciful? I think we are. Not only is God, when he exalts himself, when he shows mercy, but we also are exalted and exalt ourselves to some extent. Not in kind of selfish, we don't need God kind of way, but we exalt ourselves, we do the right thing, and in it we live an exalted life. And so Jesus says we are blessed when we do those things. So thank God for the passage on mercy and how we are to treat one another. When you out leave the day, kind of think over some of these different passages and these different teachings, how mercy just kept cropping up every time when Jesus is talking about loving people, not showing distinction to people, forgiving people their debts that toward us, but always being aware that God himself has forgiven us and that God is merciful, and so therefore we ought to be merciful.